Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for joining us again for another informative episode of Satellite Nation. Satellite Nation is a weekly call-in show geared towards the hobby side of all things television. Brought to you by Satellite Guys Radio. Now here are your hosts, Michael and Brian.
Good evening, Satellite Nation. I'm Brian Gohl at Titanium Satellite.
Good evening, everybody. I'm Michael Graves, KE4EST. Now tonight we're going to be talking about projects. If you get to sort it out, or sometimes you don't have to do that, such as Raspberry Pi and Wi-Fi and amateur radio, things like that. Or, hey, why not building your own satellite receiver?
You know, it seems like with some of these new projects that are coming out, like the Raspberry Pi and other things, you just don't have to get that soldering gun out as often as you used to. A lot of projects exist. Oh, it's very cool. You know, I want to thank my lovely wife, Lynn, for providing me drugs to enable me to be here tonight. And I mean, for a real bad head cold. So thank you very much. And Well, hey, get ready to call into our live show. We are live. It's February 18th, 2015. Let's talk about our projects and any other technology that's on your mind. Call toll-free 877-SAT-GUYS. That's 877-728-4897. International, or if you have an unlimited calling plan, go in for 7327-9319. That's 347-327-9319.
And as always, if you miss the episode of Satellite Nation, don't forget you can always head over to satelliteguys.us, over to the radio, Satellite Guys Radio Forum, and you'll see Satellite Nation archives. Click there and sit back and listen to any or all of them. Also, don't forget to head over to Facebook. Facebook.com/Satellite Nation Radio and like us and keep in touch with us. Let us know what you think, what you don't think, what you want us to do different. If you have any questions, and also head over to Twitter if you're into Twitter and follow us at SatNet Radio.
Well, very good. We want to give a special thanks to Scott Gorkowski. Now, Scott is the owner of SatelliteGuys.us, a great forum if you want to just participate with other people who, whether it be amateur radio, satellite, DirecTV, Dish Network, free-to-air, C-band, KU-band, whatever technology you're into, you'll find people that like to talk the same stuff that you like to talk. And the Satellite Guys Radio, you're probably listening to us tonight on Satellite Guys Radio or on Access America up on satellite, but Satellite Guys Radio runs a lot of great 80s music and has our show on Wednesday nights, as well as Sat Talk Radio after ours.
Yes. Let's see. Yeah, Ralph Black, we definitely want to give him thanks for putting us up on G19. And like you said, you got the talk show with Mike Cole right after our show at 9 p.m. Eastern. And don't forget about our sponsor, TitaniumSatellite.com. It helps pay the bills.
Definitely. We want to thank Dave over at gotcband.com. He has our news segment coming up in just a moment. But he also helps us get up onto Galaxy 19. And for those of you who want to listen to us on satellite, that's Galaxy 19 on the KU band side. And just tune in to the Access America radio feed there, and you can listen to us over the satellite. And we want to thank Dave for giving us access to his IceCast server and helping us get over to Satellite Guys Radio and over to Access America. And, of course, Michael, want to thank you for your support and your store, ncelectronics.com. Now, make sure and give us a visit sometime. These stores help pay the bills and help us support Satellite Nation. Now, understand we had a winner last week.
Yes, we did. We had the T-shirt contest, and we let it run for a couple weeks. And
you better clarify that, T-shirt contest.
Letting a wet one there,
but. Well, especially considering who won, I hope this was just to win a T-shirt.
I don't know, but, yep, Fargo won, and we'll get his T-shirt out to him. And the way that it works, you know, they'll have them, you know, printed up in stock, so they print them as, you know, orders come in. So it might take a couple of weeks, but Fargo, you will get your T-shirt in the mail as soon as they can get one to you.
Congratulations, Fargo. And he entered by going over to our Facebook page and clicking like on it and sharing it with his friends. So if you want to help promote Satellite Nation, go ahead and head over to Facebook and share our link with all your friends. And we want to hear from you. So, definitely give us subjects of things that you want to talk about on upcoming shows. So coming up next, what do we have there, Michael?
News by Dave.
News by Dave.
With the news for February 18th, 2015. So, Michael and Brian are going to be talking about building your own FTA receiver tonight. Talking about the Raspberry Pi 2. Just wanted to shoot out that MCM Electronics has the Raspberry Pi 2 in stock as of today. So come on over and get one. And $35 plus shipping should be some quite fine projects to build with it. So I know we talked about it last week, but Sling TV is at it again. So this week, they've released a new channel that's coming soon. Epics is coming to Sling TV. But they also have this new sports pack that's only $5 additional per month, which will get you ESPNU, ESPN News, and the SEC Network sports channels for only $5. So that means for $25 a month, you can get a whole heck of a lot of sports without being tied down to a contract or a $70 to $90 a month bill. Also, Scott over at Satellite Guys has added a new form to talk about just Sling TV. So come on over to the new form at Satellite Guys. New product alert, DMSI, a.k.a. DMSI International, now has the first Strike One Pro HD satellite meter in stock. So travel on over to your favorite DMSI reseller and order one today so we can get a review on Satellite Guys to see how this meter is. It's DVB S2 compliant. And unique on this one is actually it's got a 320 by 240 color LCD, which has not been on any of the previous first strike meters. It's got something they are calling unique time machine management. What that means, but we'll find out. It's got spectrum analyzer. It does a dissect switching. You can program it with a computer with a little USB cable. It's got a lithium-ion battery, and it's got built-in global satellite data. So I'm assuming what that means is as soon as you bust it out of the box, you're ready to go, and you don't have to program in any satellites. Hey, and don't forget, Satellite 2015 is coming up. It's March 16th through March 19th in Washington, D.C. Now, this doesn't have much to do with free-to-air. It's mostly commercial satellite, like DSAT and those type things. But I'll be there, and if you're in the area, you can go for free. And I think you can. I registered and it didn't cost anything. So hopefully some guys or gals go there, and we can have a little set guys meet up. Again, Satellite 2015, March 16th through the 19th in Washington, D.C. Hey, this is Dave with the news. I'll check you out next week.
Right.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Dave.
Yes, thank you, Dave. That was great. Now, Raspberry 2, it's out this week, and I think we're going to be talking about that in a few minutes. But, you know, getting into the sling, boy, they've been open to the public for, what, 2 weeks now?
Yeah, about two weeks.
And, you know, I've always thought that the success of people cutting the cord is going to be sports. And for $5 more, that is something to have quite a few sports networks added into that package.
Yep, that's going to be it. You're exactly right. I think so, too. It's that's the big thing. You know, I know everybody's not into sports, but that's the big thing, especially in America, it's sports. Everybody loves their sports. So.
Well, I don't think it's just here. We just cheer for a different type of sports, I think.
that's true.
But that's
it. Whatever sports you're going to...
Well, that's interesting. DMSI has that new meter. Have you taken a look at the specs on it yet?
Yeah, that specs and everything. I can't remember everything off the top of my head. They look really good. And that's the first thing I noticed was DVB-S2 compliant, it says. Not ordered one yet, but I may here in a couple weeks or so, I don't know, and try one out. But it's looking pretty good. I don't know what the retail on it's going to be. It's not going to be a cheap one, but it's not going to be as much as some of the big ones. So.
Right, right. Well, what kind of caught my attention was the global satellite data. So it almost sounds like you have different programming banks to select from so you don't have to, learn how to use your PC first. It's probably, it'll be interesting to get a review and learn a little bit more about it. The feature that I'm interested in is the time machine. You think that's the hot tub time machine?
They've got another one of them coming out too.
I know. And no, I'm not promoting it, but yeah, when he said the time machine, I was going, it sounds like a DVR capability. Not sure, what function that would play in a meter, but quite a few meters that we do see come over definitely are their pedigree, set-top boxes. Well, sir, Raspberry 2, tell me about it. Did you get yours in, I think?
I got mine in yesterday, and so I had a chance to hook it up. I couldn't wait just to see what I thought about it and how it was, and I hooked the original up first and let it boot up because I hadn't used it in a couple of days, or probably a couple of weeks, and let it boot up, played around with it a little bit, and then shut it down, and then, of course, I tried to pull the chip out and stick it up, and I was like, what in the world? And I was like, oh, wait a minute, I've got to start from scratch because, it's looking for a certain thing in the boot, so I grabbed another chip I had and put the... they call it Noobs or whatever. It comes from their website. Put that on there, and then with the PC, and then put that in there and let it do its thing, install everything. And it's definitely faster. On everything I've done, I went and played with, just what came on it. And it was faster. And then today I set up the OpenAway and put Kodi on it, what used to be XBMC, and I played with YouTube and a couple other things that you can get add-ons. And then I had some recordings I had on an external hard drive. I had it to one of the set-top boxes. And I just pulled it and plugged it in. And, of course, it's got its external power. And it recognized it immediately, right from the Kodi interface. And I scrolled through it and picked out different shows. I didn't try anything 422, but I don't think there's anything on there 422, but all the HD stuff I had on there, it fired right up and played smooth, and it looked really good.
Oh, very cool.
I got to experiment with that some more, though. I don't have any tuners. I'd like to get a USB tuner or some kind of plug-in and see how that's going to work, too.
Right. Hey, I just got mine today, and, you know, it just amazed me. My computer came, and it fit in my P.O. box. I mean, are times changing or what? I mean, that just kind of blew me away. So I got my Raspberry 2 today, and I was all excited, ran over to my bench to grab the power supply. I don't have a 2-amp power supply. The biggest thing I have is on a micro USB is a 700 milliamp. So I ordered up a new power supply for it today, and I ordered up, and because that's one thing that Scott was telling me earlier, Scott Krakowski was telling me that they are very critical about the amount of power, and his, I guess, was needing a little bit more power than what his supply was giving him.
What'd you tell him, Scott?
Yeah, I got the actual power supply from them, and still I'm getting the little box up in the corner with the rainbow in it, and that means that your power supply is not pumping out enough juice to it, but it still runs.
And is that a 2-amp power supply that they sent you?
Yes.
Interesting.
So I don't know if there's something wrong with the power supply or if it's just I do have a thumb drive plugged in there. I wonder if that's eating too much of the power. That's the only thing I can think of.
Possibly. Well, and that's something that I've gotten for mine. I had picked it up originally for the Amico. Is a 3.0 powered hub for each hub. And so that's what I plan on using with the Raspberry 2 here, just so I don't start sapping power off of everything just to power my USB devices.
I use one for that's made for, like charging your Kindle on Fires or whatever, Fire HDs. I got 2 or 3 ones, but this is the big one. It's 1.8 amps, and it so far has been working good on it. I don't know. It says 1.8 amps on it, but I've not seen any problems so far.
Now, Brian,
so
you told me this afternoon you're going to test 422. Did you get a chance to do that yet?
Well, that's when I discovered.
Oh, you didn't have the power supply.
I didn't have a power supply. So, we're going to be getting into this in a little bit, but there is some discussion that is happening on the groups whether or not it can handle it. By the way, if you hear some voices in the background, I'm feeling like a monkey in a zoo. People standing at my window staring into the office having a conversation looking at me with my lips up to this microphone. So, hey, guys.
What thing I'm doing in there?
They're throwing animal crackers and banana peels for me.
Tell them to start throwing 5s and 10s.
There we go. Well, last week I noticed we were talking about a project. We were talking about a project with the Slingbox where I'm doing a point-to-point Slingbox connection. And we just lost Michael there, so I'm going to try dialing him back up here, bring him in, so you might hear some beeps and hisses and rings. Sorry about that.
Live radio, gotta
but you gotta love it. So anyway, Michael, you back with us?
I am.
Awesome. You're sounding great. We were talking about a point-to-point system that I'm working on, and there was some discussion on Sat Talk Radio after we finished up our show. There was a question about, can you connect to Slingboxes without going through the Internet? And yes, most definitely you can. There's a desktop application called Slingbox Player that you can load onto your desktop. And I know they have, Mac and PC versions of that. And so you can go to the Slingbox website and go to the old apps section and download the desktop app. And that way you can hook up directly to Slingboxes on your network without having to go out over the Internet.
Mm-hmm. Now, if it's on the same subnet, the Sling Player application that you downloaded should automatically find the Slingbox. You don't even need to do anything.
But... that's something I've never tried. Have you out an internet connection through your web interface?
Yep. Well, not through the web interface, but through the old software, you can do that.
Right, right. Oh, okay. I misunderstood. I thought you meant through the new software, it would still detect through your subnet, but no. Okay.
No, the old software does a scan of the network, so it sees what's out there and says, hey, there's a sling box out here. Do you want to watch it? And it does.
Exactly. So what I've done, I've now established, actually taken my Ubiquiti point-to-point system out of my office, and I'm now going between my office and my house. It's about 3,000 feet away, and have the put up the parabolic 27 dB gain Wi-Fi on my office roof here. You'll probably see it in the next Google Maps update.
2 years from now.
It's a biggie. And that one's pounding its trees for about 100, 150 feet, which I hope I can keep powering through at 2.4 gig through the whole summer. And then it's traveling, you know, just a little, what, about a half a mile away. And then on the other end, I have a 24 dB smaller dish sitting on a small pipe in my yard right in front of the living room window. So you know that's not going to stay there. But I'm getting right now just around 75 dB on a 89 dB threshold. So I'm not able to pump through a lot, but I'm getting as high as 10, 12 meg through that connection. So I'm able to do some nice ATSC stuff, high definition. It's looking pretty good from the office over there. So my project is moving along, and I just kind of wanted to give an update that, yes, it's totally possible to hook up to a Slingbox or any IP satellite receiver that I have here at the office from the house using or other applications, what, SAT to IP with the Amico boxes.
Mm-hmm. Neat little feature of that box, huh?
Definitely. Now, my plan is I'm going to be putting the other dish, going to remove it from in front of the living room window. I think I'm getting some encouragement there. Actually, it really surprised me. Lynn goes, no, if that's where it needs to be for it to work, go ahead and leave it. I'm thinking to myself, yeah, you're saying that to my face, aren't you?
Was your birthday? Was it a holiday or something?
No, and she wasn't even holding my credit card at the time. But... So I talked to a local tree expert, and he's going to put me at the end of one of his days just on a will call when he has some time left over at the end of the day, and that way he won't charge me for a half day to come over, and he has an articulating arm. I think it's a 75 or 80-foot boom arm. So mm-hmm. I have a big, big, big pine tree, so I'm going to go ahead and put that pair of 60, 70 feet. And at the same time, I know Michael was excited about this. I'm going to... also put in a big eye hook in the tree with a pulley and put a flagpole type rope, you know, the circular rope, so I can pull up dipoles or long wires or whatever else I want for when I get into amateur radio.
Well, a nice shortwave.
Yeah, keep that license.
Definitely. Now, Scott, you have a little bit of experience with Raspberry. Tell us a little bit about what you've done with your Raspberries in the past.
I've been finding all kinds of neat things to do. I just started broadcasting last week. I've been broadcasting our local police and fire over the internet to radioreference.com. And I switched over from using a computer to using the Raspberry Pi box. You just plug it in, and it automatically connects and does its thing. It's a beauty. You know, only using the 5 watts and doesn't require a full computer. It runs beautifully. It sounds beautiful. And started another project. Some people know I run a weather station that can be found at weather.satelliteguys.us. Well, they just released a new version of the software that I'm running, which is called Weather Display. And I can actually take my output from my Davis Instruments Vantage Pro 2 and feed it right into the Raspberry Pi and have it do what a big computer is doing now as far as updating the website with all the weather information and the local data and the radars and everything else like that, all inside the little Raspberry Pi. So instead of having all these big computers and big monitors around, you just throw them on a shelf, and if you have a problem, you plug a HDMI cable into a, you know, a TV, and you got it. But you shouldn't have to. They just run.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't need much horsepower to do that. So, yeah, Raspberry Pi is perfect for something like that.
Now, also, I know a lot of the members participate with Trip in providing him off their silicon dust. So possibly this is another application that, do you know of any of the guys who are using the Raspberry Pi as basically a server for that information to get over to Trip?
Not yet, and I'm actually one of those people, and I'm running a computer downstairs in the basement that's actually feeding that information out to Trip 24 hours a day. So if there is a Raspberry Pi version of the software available, I would be very interested in having it, because then I don't have to run a computer, you know, 24/7 downstairs. And that one downstairs is one of those old, what they call it, all-in-one computers where it's got the monitor built in, and the monitor is always on 24/7.
So anybody listening tonight, if you want to help reduce Scott's electricity bill and shut off one more computer in his house, give a call in. Here's our call-in number.
Phone lines are now open for Satellite Nation. Call us at 877-SAT-GUYS or 877-728-4897.
Thank you, Blog Talk. So that is 877-728-4897, or if you're a local caller or have unlimited calling, call 347-327-9319. Let's talk about what's on your mind technology-wise. So definitely, for those people who don't know about what your what Trip has going on, could you tell us a little bit about that program and what's necessary right now to provide him this data and what it's used for?
Yeah, what it does is it just automatically keeps scanning every 30 seconds your over-the-air antenna. And it's taking signal readings from each one of the stations, and then it reports it to Trip. And I'm shocked at times of some of the stations I'm pulling in. I've picked up stations from as far away as New Hampshire sometimes of the day. It's just the way the signal's bouncing out there.
Right.
Just very neat to see what you can receive at your house over the air. And it's also helpful
now,
for the engineers.
What does Trip do with this information when he collects it, and where can people view this information?
They can go to rabbitears.info, and then on the I don't remember where he has it on the page. Let me just type it in real quick here. And when you go to rabbitears.info, you see a live band scan. Click on that, and then you'll see all the tuners out there that are doing this. And if you look up in Connecticut, I'm the one up in Connecticut doing it. And you can actually click on it and see my map for just my location. And then you can see what you received over the last 24 hours. And, of course, it's updated every couple minutes. But if I click on ever received, my farthest reception report where I've got a usable signal, ATSC signal, I got one from WNNE in Vermont, which is, let's see here, WNNE is 121.9 miles away. And the second
you must be using one of those fancy little plastic antennas that we see on retro TV.
Yeah, one of those clear antennas, yes.
Yeah. Great. I'm just amazed what I can receive.
And the other furthest one I've received is a station called WRGB from Schenectady, New York, which is 93.1 miles. And it's kind of just wild to see these channels up there. And when I look at my chart every once in a while, and every once in a while, I'll see a channel that's far away light up, and I'll actually be able to tune in on my TV, and I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, those signals get trapped up, and it's called ducting. And where I live up in the mountains, in a valley in the mountains, better yet. And so I have no direct line of sight to any station. So my stations throughout the day really can change dramatically. Predictably, in the early evening, I can receive channels in my area, which are over 110, 120 miles away from San Jose, San Francisco, and even points farther south. I've even gotten Santa Barbara, and I'm up in the Sierra Mountains above Sacramento. So if you look on a map, that's a heck of a throw.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
But
very
the fun
cool.
Thing, and
okay.
I actually know TV technician, TV engineers that work at the TV stations who find this information interesting, because if you're a local station where I'm getting you at full power and they're making changes to their transmitter, they can actually see, by looking at my thing, they can see a graph of, you know, when they adjusted power and did stuff and see what a difference it made. So that's
a cool
use for them.
Very much. Well, hey, Michael, I understand you had a little Kareem with OuterNet this week. I noticed he had come to our website and given us an update, but what else can you share with us that's going over with OuterNet? And for those of you listening, OuterNet is a satellite service currently coming off of the satellite, streaming, constantly providing data, and it's going to be a library of information delivered worldwide, not only by satellite, but also by terrestrial and other means. So what do you have there, Michael?
Yeah, I sent him an email. I used to get him on the phone pretty easy, but I guess he's getting so busy now. So I got an email back from him, and I asked him, I said, is there any updates or anything, you know, going on that I've not seen or whatever that I can share? And he sent back an email, and he said that, of course, now the pre-sales are over. And in the next couple of weeks or so, they're going to be releasing a device kind of that's in between before, you know, the layer comes out. That's and all it does is, from what I understand, what we've seen there is just a little short email, but it's a satellite receiver only based version of the lantern. It don't have all the other fancy things you can put to the internet or whatever. It's just a Wi-Fi or anything like that. It's just satellite based only. And
But it's going to be a single device, though. It's not going to be something like currently, if you want to receive it, you have to build your own Pi and get all the various components and kind of construct your own. So this will be kind of that next step where just the average person can have, with less techie knowledge. Is that what the lantern or the pillar is going to be?
That's what I got out of it.
Okay.
It's going to be kind of more plug and play.
Now, I understand that the pillar is going to be about $150, and it's currently on trial over in Kenya. And I would, because they also have another one set for the Philippines, which they might be doing a large deployment for their public schools. And that is pretty fascinating.
Yeah, it is.
I understand they're going to be soon testing the new L-band, getting ready for the Lantern this summer as well.
Yeah, I was just chatting with Syed the other day, and I know that they're working on getting satellite contracts for these services. So it's really great to see them moving forward, and definitely the Lantern is on schedule for those of you who signed up to participate in that project on the FundMe project. The Lantern is out for release, I believe, late August, I believe.
Yep.
Well, very cool. Okay, so that's kind of an update on those of you who are following the OuterNet service. Supreme checking in with Satellite Guys Forum every once in a while and kind of giving us an inside scoop of things that we just don't hear about yet. And so we really appreciate his input, definitely.
Yeah, he said he'd be back on the show and either next month or the 1st of April when this project gets underway more, and that way he can give us, from the horse's mouth, he can come on here and tell us a lot more about it. So that'd be good. That'd be cool having him back.
Definitely. Now, something we've been talking about over at Satellite Guys, and I'm going to go ahead and invite people to call in if you're interested in building your own hobbyist satellite receiver. Tired of waiting for a developer to develop your satellite receiver to do what you want it to do? That's what we're going to be talking about next. So give us a call.
Phone lines are now open for Satellite Nation. Call us at 877-SAT-GUYS or 877-728-4897.
So we kind of started out this conversation by saying, hey, we have a new device out there. It's called the Raspberry Pi 2, and we were kind of wondering, will it have enough horsepower to become the new platform for a hobbyist open source satellite receiver? So the conversation started on Satellite Guys, and we've had quite a few people participating in that thread.
Yeah, and lately I like to, you know, he came in and, you know, he's done all this, and he's like, I don't know if it's going to quite do it, because he told us something that I didn't even realize, that the Ethernet is shared on the USB. It's actually just a USB converter, you know, built on the board.
Right, so I believe that it has a limit of 100 megabit, and so he was just indicating that that would probably be a bottleneck, just because quite a few of the DVB-S2 50 meg itself, and if you're trying to bring that in and then serve it out to another device, you know, you're going to be at 100%. So, you know, it almost looks like that probably the Raspberry Pi, even the 2, might not be a suitable candidate for the long term, but it certainly is going to be an interesting thing, because whatever we develop, whatever we find on these inexpensive devices, I think we could easily port over to other things.
Yeah, that was one of the disappointments to me about the Raspberry 2, is that the USB is still only USB 2.0, and the Ethernet on it is 100 megabit, and it's, you know, actually tied together. I would love to have seen it with USB 3 and then have a gigabit Ethernet on it, but guess we can't have everything. But surprisingly, it's going to run Windows 10, which is kind of neat.
That is amazing. I mean, when did it generation from Windows?
And it's going to be free.
That's amazing.
Free Windows 10.
Well, the thing that interested me about that announcement is because there are some programs out there that work with some of the software that's already working on some of these platforms, like OpenElect, that, like Crazy Cat, and we hope to have him on our show one of these times. Crazy Cat is supposedly working with OpenElect. I need to read into this a little bit more. But then that is a Windows-based software. Well, could you then incorporate a lot of the strengths that are already built into Windows, like the touch screens, et cetera, to start taking these satellite receivers to the next level, where you can actually interact with, imagine doing a blind scan, and you see a spectrum scan of all the carriers that the receiver sees on the, instead of waiting for the receiver to go through each one of those little spikes in the spectrum. Imagine just touching your screen on a spike, and instantly that goes over and it's logged and then starts displaying on something like maybe VLC. Well, imagine having that interface just be a touch on the screen. Hey, I want to look at this. Touch. That's not that far out, because already on the SDR programs, if you want to interact with the SDR, you can do that on your smartphone by just touching. On the Amico A3, you can just point your gyro mouse at the thing, click, and it then tunes that carrier. So all of this stuff is already there, but nobody's put it together into a package yet.
That is the key word, is yet.
So I think one of the biggest things that come to mind, first of all, is price tag. You know, for, you know, $800 to $1,000. So we've been doing that for a long time. I've had a home theater PC for a long time, and, you know, running, you know, i7, tons of RAM, good graphics card. But, you know, that's not of interest to everybody. So maybe, you know, what is that price point? And we started talking about a couple prices, and is $200 a doable point if we move beyond the Raspberry?
Well, what people need to figure out is a base for what they want to build.
Yeah.
What is the minimum specs? What is the minimum thing they're looking to do? And then have add-ons from there. Because you can build a very basic one to get basic reception, or if you want a super-duper one that does 422, has dual tuners, can move the dish, you know, and everything else, you're going to want to pay more money. It's up to the person what they want to spend, but there needs to be a start point.
Right. Now, I know that Update Lee Chris had also mentioned a couple other platforms. He had mentioned the Odroid C1, but he said that it supported H.265 and is inexpensive. But he did mention that it's an older kernel, and so it's a little harder for him to support. But, you know, it has some real advantages, you know, because it does have gigabit Ethernet on it and some other things.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
and then,
he did, you know, some of the other members mentioned things like other small platforms like the Banana PI, more powerful. But still, you know, what do we want to support? Do we want to support a PCI tuner, which is groundbreaking, first out of the block with technology, a tuner that's USB-based? And what I'm hearing, it seems like most members are content for maybe it not being the latest cutting edge, but maybe the USB port is the way to go. It seems like a lot of people are saying, hey, let's concentrate on maybe on a USB. What's your input?
Well, a lot of these devices, such as the Pi and stuff, don't have the PCI Express or anything like that on it. So USB is really the only way to go on some of these more inexpensive computer models.
But if we were to build our own, that's where we started then having other members, you know, talk about, let's see, I think iBoston, or was it iBoston? Somebody, yeah, they had talked about a current solution called the Moi box from TBS, which is basically a server for their PC. So then you would still have a media device or a computer, and it kind of turns a computer card into something that is like the Silicon Dust ATSC tuners, where if you're on the network, you know, you can tune it in. Now, the limitations that I see for the Moi is, you know, it doesn't give you full access to everything because they are closed source. And so, you know, you really have to work around finding solutions and making other applications work with them.
That's what I don't like about that one. I think when you keep everything open source all the way through, if you're going to do it, I mean, that's the whole nature of something like this, is keep it completely open source. And so I think that just leaves that one out, even though it might be a solution, but I think it just leaves that one out altogether.
Definitely. Hey, if you're listening to us this evening and you have an opinion or have an idea, give us a call.
Phone lines are now open for Satellite Nation. Call us at 877-SAT-GUYS or 877-728-4897.
I don't know what's up with blog talk tonight, but well, you know, I wanted somebody had started out a conversation. A couple people said, well, maybe the mini ITX platform is the way to go. Now, because that does have a one PCIe slot on it, and it does have onboard 4K native support. So if we're looking at something that's going to be forward compatible in the next, I don't know, couple years, maybe that onboard 4K HDMI display might be something, and that PCI slot could be either used for a PCI tuner or it could be used in the future for an upgraded graphics card. But, of course, the mini I out is it is a small footprint, but the bad thing is you're limited to only one PCIe slot.
Well, that might be really all you need, you know, just keep that dedicated to a tuner and use everything else USB.
And that's one thing I'm kind of grappling with is how far in the future do we want to future-proof this? And, you know, anything that is developed at this point could probably be moved forward, you know, so it can work on other platforms and to address different things that come along. And at this point, I'm saying, boy, maybe the onboard 4K is what we should target right now. And, you know, Chris Update Lee seems to think quite highly you know, of the mini ITX platform.
Yeah. Now, if you look around
that
Amazon,
it would be hard to hit. He said it would be hard to hit 200 degrees necessary.
If you look around on Amazon, they're starting to offer Kodi boxes, which are running Android, which have 4K output and 4K processing in them, for $80. I don't know what kind of chipsets are in there, but to see them delivering 4K and actually having YouTube plugins so you can watch the 4K from YouTube and have it work really well is kind of exciting to me.
You know, and I think that I'm going to mention one more board that's been talked about, and then we're going to go that direction, Scott. They mentioned also then the micro ATX. So that has three PCI slots, which would allow expansion almost in any direction and, you know, could support up, you know, future cards for 8K. But once again, we then get into a much larger card, motherboard, and, you know, then we're kind of getting away from a smaller form, inexpensive to get into. So kind of
stuck in a lot of people's price ranges, and they don't losing interest.
Right, right. So I think the mini ITX has a lot of possibilities to it. Now, kind of stepping back, something that I've been kind of bouncing off a couple people the last couple days is, what if what we create here is a substitute for the Moa box, where you can hook up your USB tuner to it, or you can hook up your PCI tuner, and it's just a server. And you use one of these media boxes that you're talking about, Scott, that are coming out inexpensively. I'm seeing quad boxes come out now running, some very aggressive chipsets that I'm sure would be able to handle many formats into the future. But the investment then is on the playout end of it. Thoughts? Or maybe I just lulled you to sleep with my comment.
No, on my end, you dropped off for a second, so I was trying to catch up with what you said or trying to imagine what you said. But
okay.
You know, but these chipsets for $80 getting 4K output, there's no reason we can't do something like this, especially at the price point so low.
Right, so with a mini ITX, or, you know, we might even be able to come out with something where we look at a more powerful platform that does have a separated bus. And I think somebody had mentioned that, which one was it? Somebody had mentioned there was a board out there that had gigabit support on it, that was where the USB and the Ethernet were not sharing the same bus. So I think there's a lot of, I think Ancient mentioned that there was a Reddit user that all the multi-core ARM dev boards that are out there that are less than $100. And so I really think that that's something of very much interest, that maybe we look at something that has a separated USB, you know, where it's not sharing that same bandwidth between USB and Ethernet. And then we, right, then we could deal with, especially if it was the gigabit, then we could deal with something that could decode and then serve and then just get these inexpensive media boxes to be able to do the decoding, that could do the 422, that could do, the 444 and everything else that's going to be coming along.
Yeah, and use Raspberry Pi 2 possibly for the server.
The only concern that I do have about using the Raspberry Pi 2 for that purpose is, once again, if you're locked onto a satellite stream 50 meg wide, and then you're trying to process it and push it out on Ethernet, you're going to have a problem.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, very true.
What's that, Scott?
Oh, I was going to say something, and then my wife handed me a note, and I forgot what I was going to say.
Do the dishes.
I remember what it was now. We were actually talking this afternoon before the show, and one of the ideas you had was kind of interesting, and that was taking two computer motherboards, such as two Pis, using one as a receiver processor and using another one
to actually decode the video and output it. And it's such a small footprint that it may be viable to do it that way, and you have double the processor power there, and it sounded like a neat idea, actually.
Yeah, definitely, and I don't know enough about how to hand off information between the boards without the different ports. So, Michael, do you have anything to add to that, or it might just be something that we post up on the thread and get some of the more knowledgeable guys to kind of weigh in on?
Yeah, that's something I've, for other projects myself, I've wanted to do, and I've not done enough research yet. I've thought about it several times, but I've seen plenty of things where people had, you know, several ties, or, you know, a beagle bone or any other kind of board,
mm-hmm.
you know, all set put together. So, and I know there's I/O ports now through the GPIO pins, so.
Right.
I don't know how fast it is or whatever, so something to definitely research or throw it out there and see what people can tell us on the forums.
Right, because when I was talking with Scott, you know, my idea was, you know, you can stack a couple of these $35 boards up and still have a lot less invested in your system than you would even if you bought a set-top box, and you'd have a pretty powerful setup there.
And you might even go cheaper, because if you're going to do that, you could go with the, they're going to come out, they said, with they're going to have an A version of the Pi 2 also. It's going to be cheaper, you know, more around the $20 price range. And so you'd have less USB ports and a little bit less RAM, you know, but you may not need it.
Right.
Necessarily. You mainly want that processor power, you know, and if it's possible, that's all you need. And you can go that route and get away with about the same price as one Pi, you know, B for two of those together, so. Well, definitely something to think about.
Right. Now, so far, the parts that I have ordered, I have, of course, received the Raspberry 2 today and waiting for my power supply to get here. But I also ordered a 7-inch touch screen with the interface to work with the Pi with case for $55, and should be here next week sometime, probably about the same time as my power supply.
Yeah. Interesting to see how that works out. Let's see if I can push the button here. We have a caller. Go ahead, Dillon, Tennessee.
Good evening. Area code 423. You are on Satellite Nation. Who do we have?
You have Fargo on the line.
Good evening, Fargo. Congratulations,
Fargo.
T-shirt window. Winner.
Thank you. I was just wondering about a buddy up in the North Country. Said he was turning satellite dishes a while back with a broomstick. I wonder if he's still doing that.
You know, I'm glad I have a big, tall pole on my C-band dish, because if I didn't, the C-band dish would be under snow. I've actually got over 5 feet of snow here. And,
oh, wow.
I got a wall out front, and the wall is 5.5 feet, and the snow is actually over that. So.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
It's one.
So how much do you have there, Fargo? Do you have any snow where you're at, Fargo?
Half an inch, but I got about a half an inch, but it's going to be down to 6 tonight.
Well, that's nothing. We've been down to minus 15 all week.
Oh, wow. That is cold.
Well, we've been up into the 82 this week. It.
All right, I'm jealous. I'm hanging up now.
You must be
sorry,
out of
guys. I'm not. Yeah, I'm in Northern Cal, but it's not to rub it in. You know, we are in some serious problems up here in Northern Cal with this weather, because we are not getting the rain, and worst of all, we're not getting the snow. So, you know, it may be hitting you guys hard, but we are jealous of it. Believe it or not.
Hey, if you want any free snow, come on over.
I thought I'd call in and check in with y'all while you're on. And y'all have a good night.
Well, thank you, Fargo. Well, hey, quickly, you have a radio station up and running. Could you just tell
it's
us about your
running,
new project?
Well, it's in test mode right now, but it is up and running.
Well, will you be sharing
on
the forums?
It's on Shoutcast. I guess I could if they would allow me to.
Yeah, go ahead.
Some things they won't allow.
Well, why don't you just talk it over with Scott? But we would love to hear about what your project is that you're working on. And I know if it works out well on Shoutcast, you're going to take it over to Satellite, right?
That's right. I'm going to do both satellite and shellcast. Yes, sir.
What kind of music are you doing?
A variety of different kinds. Sometimes it'll be rocky, sometimes it'll be country gospel, sometimes it'll be straight country. It's a mix-up.
No competition for the 80s music on Sat Guy, Scott.
It's a fun hobby. I've actually got two separate radio stations now. I've got Satellite Guys Radio, and I got another one called Fun Tower Radio. And having a good time with it and making a lot of good friends, and that's what it's all about.
I about pulled my hair out today trying to get this auto DJ to work, trying to program it and make it work right, and I finally got it together tonight, and it's up and going pretty good right now.
Well, very good. Hey, maybe sometime we'll need to have a radio show, you know, get Ralph on and get Scott and some other people on here that are doing radio, and we can have a big roundtable about how to put up your own radio station.
That would be nice. It really would.
Well, congrats.
Y'all have a good night.
Hey, congratulations for winning the T-shirt, thank you. And thank you for coming over to Facebook and visiting us.
Okay, thank you.
Good night, Fargo.
Good night, Fargo.
Yep. That's actually another thing you can do with the Raspberry Pi is use it for live radio remote.
Really? Do they have software already set up for that?
Yep. There's a disk image you can download, install it. You put in your address of your server on the other end, hit go, and you're online.
Very cool. Hey, I just wanted to quickly talk about some of the software that's already out there. So if you are going to be playing around with your own little satellite receiver and want to just kind of start reading up on things, I wanted to mention OpenElect. That's OpenElec. They have some information on that. And BPALONE, a member over at Satellite Guys, mentioned that at Linux Voice, the U.S. site for Linux Voice, the March 2015 issue, they have a tutorial on OpenElect on page 84. So if you want to read up a little bit on OpenElect and how it works, like with Xbox Media Center, or it's now called Kodi, you can read up on that. There's quite a few people starting to use that as their software. Also, something that I'm going to be working with, of course, is Update Lee's Update DVB software. So we are honored to have somebody on our forum who actually writes software, signal analyzation for off the satellite. And then also we're going to be working with Crazy Cat software. Crazy Cat is a very interesting thing that I have installed on my computer. Windows, very friendly, very easy to use, and you can look at what's up on the satellite using USB devices or tuner cards.
That's why I just installed up my link. I got to play with that some more myself and see what's going on over there.
Yep. Well, Scott, thanks for being on this evening, and we're getting pretty close to wrapping it up, but thanks for joining us, and in the future, I know we're going to be talking more about this project.
It's an interesting project. I look forward to talking more about it.
Definitely. Well, Michael, who do we have on next week?
Next week we have Ken Wright, he's the editor of the Spectrometer magazine, so I'm saying his last name right. We'll be on with it next week for the February 25th edition of Satellite Nation.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Thanks to all that tuned in tonight. Join Satellite Guys Mike and Brian next Wednesday for another informative episode of Satellite Nation. And don't forget to like our page at facebook.com/Satellite Nation Radio. Until next week, good night.
In my dreams, I'm dying of the So this is.